I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, and I'll be reading verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And of course, these were the words that Jesus spoke. So let's ask God's blessing upon the message to follow. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious words from the lips of the Lord Jesus. And I pray now that you will enable and empower our pastor as he unfolds the truths from this passage of Scripture. And that any who have come into our service this morning who are laid heavy burdens and have various grave concerns upon their hearts and minds to find rest in you, I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord this morning for his goodness to us. And today I want to begin a three-part series of messages entitled Overwhelmed. Have you ever felt overwhelmed in life? I'm sure you have. Maybe you can think about times in the past, or it could be that you currently are there. I think about Chippy the parakeet, who never saw it coming. One second he was just perched in his cage, just singing away, and then life dramatically changed for him. He was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. You see, one day the problem began when the owner decided that she was going to clean the cage. No problem with that. But she took the vacuum cleaner and she removed the attachment from the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. And she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when whoop! She was horrified. She put the phone down, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. Sure enough, there was Chippy. He was still alive, but stunned. And she was, like I said, horrified. And since the bird was covered in dirt, she grabbed him, raced him to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any good bird owner would do. She took the hairdryer and blasted it with hot air. Poor Chippy never saw it coming. A few days later, after all the trauma, a reporter who initially had written about the event contacted the owner and wanted to know how the bird was recovering. And the owner said, well, Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just kind of sits there and stares. Well, I think we would too. Sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And you know, sometimes in life, we can be minding our own business with a song in our heart when life becomes quickly overwhelming. You receive that pink slip. You receive a rejection letter in the mail. The doctor calls with bad news. A policeman knocks on your door. You just get weary with life and you are definitely overwhelmed with it all. Jesus, in this context of Scripture, was talking to a multitude of people because earlier in the chapter, it says in verse number 7 that he was speaking to a multitude of people. And in that multitude of people, Jesus had noted that they were laboring and that they were heavy laden. That means that they were loaded with care. In fact, that word labor speaks to the idea of the exhaustion of a soldier or a messenger who had run many miles to deliver a particular message. So Jesus looks at this multitude of people and sees within that multitude of people, people who are overcome, they are overwhelmed with life. Now, I'm not saying every one of them, but Jesus did invite them to come to him, and he noted that they were overwhelmed. And I think about us this morning. And in this crowd, I'm sure that there are some people who are overwhelmed with life. We've had a very, I think we would all agree, a very overwhelming little over a year of life. Think about it. Before COVID, for most of us, we could say life even then was already hectic. We were busy. Life was just going along, and then comes this thing called COVID, and then for many, life is turned upside down. People now, even to this day, doing something with work that they never thought would be possible, they're working from home. They have been working from, some of them, working from home for over a year. Young people, their school systems have been, if you would, turned upside down. Am I going to be in school tomorrow, or am I going to have to watch it on screen? It's just been overwhelming for parents. It's been overwhelming for students. Life has just been overwhelming for people. And it seems like in many ways people cry out. In fact, I don't hear this too much now, but initially, I can't wait till life gets back to normal. This may not encourage you, but I believe what we currently are in is our new normal in America. Yea, in our world. Whether we like it or not, some things are in place that are probably going to stay in place for I don't know how long. And so we have learned how to adjust, or maybe we haven't learned how to adjust. But nonetheless, life in itself can be very, very overwhelming for some people. And Jesus, in these three verses, gives us some help, gives us some truths that will help us when life becomes overwhelming. He says at the front end of verse number 28, he says, I want you to come unto me. So the first thing to do when life becomes overwhelming is to look to Jesus. He says, I want you to come to me. I'm sure that there were some in that crowd who were looking, if you would, it's like, hey, life is so overwhelming, I'm going to go to Jesus, and maybe, just maybe, he can bring a healing. Maybe he can bring me out of this rough spot that I'm in life. I don't know what were people were like in that day, but here's what I do know. In our day, I do know that people, when life becomes overwhelming, they look everywhere except to Jesus Christ. I think about how sometimes people will turn to the party scene of life. They look to alcohol. They take one drink after another drink, and they get involved in party life. And for the moment, as they're getting drunk, and it's like, hey, at least I'm not thinking about the overwhelming situation in my life at this particular moment. But then they wake up the next morning, and they have that hangover, and they have that headache, and they realize, hold it, that overwhelming problem, that overwhelming situation still is with me. They found that the bottle did not, if you would, bring relief from the overwhelming situation of life. Some people turn to drugs. They go from one high to another high. And when they're high, if you would, they think about, at least I'm not thinking about the overwhelming problems of life. Some turn to sex, and they go from one bed to another bed to another bed, and they go from one bad relationship to one bad relationship. While they're involved in it at the moment, they think, at least for a little while, I can get some relief from the overwhelming problems of life. I think about how sometimes people turn to work, and they work harder, and they work harder, and they make more money, and they buy more toys, and yet at the end of the day, the toys don't satisfy, the money just really doesn't satisfy, and they're overwhelmed with all of what they have. And here's what I can tell you about money, that money can take you just about anywhere you want to go, except money can't take you to Jesus Christ. And we find in this passage of Scripture that at times, there are people that will turn everywhere else but to Jesus. And the best direction to always turn to when life is overwhelming is to turn to the Lord. And he says, I want you to come unto me. And again, I don't know where the multitude of people at that time were turning to, but Jesus says, I want to redirect your focus. I want you to come to me. When you have tried everything else and have come up empty, turn to me. You see, when you turn to Jesus, you will discover that he is the bread of life that satisfies. He is the water of life that quenches your thirst. He is the peace in life who brings calm into the storms of your life. He is the joy in life. He is the hope in life. And he is the burden-carrying Savior. Have you taken your burden to the Lord lately and left it there? Because you see, in this passage, he says, I want you to come unto me. His shoulders, I can tell you, church, this morning, are broad enough to carry any problem that you have. My shoulders aren't. Someone sitting beside you, their shoulders aren't broad enough. But I'm telling you, the God of this universe has shoulders broad enough to carry all the burdens of your life. And we find that St. Augustine said this, the soul is restless and will not rest until it finds its rest in thee. And that is so true, that we can only find true rest when we go in the right direction. When life is overwhelming, we need to be careful that we're not turning to people or things. When our life is overwhelmed, we need to do what David said in the book of Psalms, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me there. And that's where we need to be led to. And so Jesus says, when life is overwhelmed, look to me. Secondly, he says in this passage, when life is overwhelmed, he says, I want you to live for me. Look what he says now, if you would, in verse number 29, he says, I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, a yoke, as you know, is a wooden bar that is made to fit around the neck and the shoulders of an ox. A farmer then would attach a harness to that yoke so that he could guide and control that particular ox. And the reason Jesus used the yoke as a word picture, if you would, because it spoke of submission, that farmer could guide and control the ox. Now, as I think about this, and as I was studying this, I thought, well, that's kind of a strange word picture. You're talking to a multitude of people. For some of them, life is overwhelming, and you're asking them to take your yoke. That just seemed kind of strange for a couple of reasons. One, nobody wants to be under anybody else's yoke. You with me? Nobody really wants to be under somebody else's yoke. Well, that's why that to me initially didn't make sense. These people are overwhelmed and you're asking them to be under your yoke. And the second reason it didn't really make sense to me is that we don't want to be pulling anybody else's burden when we are overwhelmed ourselves. Come on, you with me? There are times in our life when we are overwhelmed, and it's not that we don't care about anybody else, but sometimes when life is overwhelming, we think, how in the world do I have any more room in my life to take on somebody else's burden and carry that? And so when I think of those two things, I think that it's rather strange that Jesus initially said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. But he tells us two things about his yoke. One, he says, my yoke is easy. That simply means that it is perfectly suited for its purpose. Back in that day, a farmer would hire a carpenter to make a particular yoke for his oxen. It was perfectly suited for that particular ox. And he wanted to make sure that it was built in such a way, because that ox was going to have to just carry that load for many hours during that day. He wanted to make sure that that yoke didn't cause any blisters or any chafing around the neck of that oxen. And so Jesus here in this passage of Scripture is saying, for my yoke, it is easy. He says it's perfectly suited for you. Then he says, my burden is light. So contrary to the kind of burdens, if you would, that the oxen would carry in that day, he is saying the yoke I'm inviting you to take upon you is light. My yoke is easy. It's perfectly suited for you. I want you, if you would, as that oxen would have that yoke upon him and be guided and controlled by its farmer, likewise, I want you to know that I want you to live a life that is submitted to my will, surrendered to my will, to my direction for your life. Because freedom is being under the right control. You see, in war, peace never comes until one side submits to the other side. And the only way to get free from the concerns of life is to surrender to the control of Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. William Booth was the founder of what we know as the Salvation Army. And he had such a compassion for people, and he had such a love for the Lord. But he was also a man who carried himself with a spirit of rest and peace. It was noticeable. Someone asked him one time, Mr. Booth, what is the secret to the peace in your life? How is it that you can rest when no one else can? And Mr. Booth replied, because I never say no to the Lord. This was the man who found the right master, and your soul is not going to be at peace until you yield to the master of your life. And we find in this passage, Jesus is saying, when you are overwhelmed, look to me. When you are overwhelmed, I want you to live for me. I want you to be surrendered to me. I want you to live for me. And may I say to all of us here this morning that know Christ, you are the most joyful in your life when you are surrendered to the will of the Lord in your life. You are. It's when we resist. It's when we say, no, I want to go this way. And by the way, the Bible teaches us before we were saved that we wanted to go our own way. Guess what? After I'm saved, guess what I still struggle with? I still want to go my own way. I still want to go my way. And yet, if I go my way, I know that it's going to lead to disaster. I've got to go the way of the Lord. I've got to go the way of the Master. Because that's where peace lies. That's where, when life is overwhelming, believe me, in the work I do, it can become overwhelming. I mean, I've had weeks where I've had phone calls, my loved one has passed, someone is in the hospital, someone is really sick, and my marriage is falling apart. I mean, I've had those kind of weeks, praise God, not often, but I've had those kind of weeks, and I'm sitting there thinking, now how am I going to juggle all these plates, because Sundays are coming, and I've got to get ready for at least 3 different lessons to teach on that particular day. And now all of this is on top of all of that. And there's times where I try to make it all work and juggle all the plates. But here's what I know. My Heavenly Father's in control. And He doesn't want me, if you would, falling apart and trying to juggle all the plates. He wants me to just surrender. Because here's what I know. When I run into that kind of a week, He already knew I was going to run into that kind of week. Before I did. He knew all about it. He doesn't want me falling apart. He says, hey, I want you to look to me. I want to guide you. I want you to surrender to me. And so Jesus says, when your life is overwhelmed with whatever, look to me. He says, then I want you to come to me. And then we find in verse number 29, he says, I want you to learn from me. I want you to learn from me. Verse 29, where he says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When you come to Jesus and go to school with him, he is not only the teacher, he's the subject. And he carried the weight of the entire world's sin, sorrow, and suffering on his shoulders. Think about the life of Jesus for a moment. You talk about overwhelming life. Think about it. I mean, every day people are coming to him, Lord, bless me, Lord, touch me, Lord, heal me, and whatever else they said. Now you think about that. People are constantly crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No wonder the Bible says that a great while before day, Jesus got up and went and spent time with the Father. No wonder the Bible says that when Jesus was with the crowd, he withdrew from the crowd, not because he didn't care for them, but he withdrew from the crowd, went alone and prayed to the Father. I think there's a good lesson there for us. That when life gets overwhelming, be it family life, be it work life, be it school life, whatever kind of life it may be, life becomes overwhelming for you, that one of the best things that you can do is go find you a place and get alone with the Father. And just pour your heart out. Just say, God, I don't understand. God, I need wisdom. God, I need direction. And there are times that Jesus himself withdrew from the crowd, not because he didn't care about them. He loved them very much. But he, being the God-man, had to withdraw, if you would, to spend time with the Father. Because when you spend time with the Heavenly Father, you know what it does for you? It replenishes you. It replenishes you. When I've had those kind of weeks that I've told you about, and I'm sure I'll continue to have them, one of the things that saves me is that every morning I wake up, I get alone with the Father in the Word. And you know, when that phone call comes, and the next phone call comes, next phone call comes, you know what carries me through that moment? The feeding I got from the Word that morning. The strength I got from the Word. And what I'm saying to you is there are times when God wants to teach us some things, when life is overwhelming. He knows about how overwhelming it is. It's not surprising to him. Now, how many of you would agree with me? Sometimes our life becomes overwhelmed because we've made it overwhelming. Come on now. You with me? Sometimes we just make it overwhelming. I'm not advocating laziness, but sometimes we add so much to our plate, and then we think, man, why am I so tired? Then you stop and think about it. Man, did I really need to do that? Did I really need to do that? Because here's the thing. A lot of us have trouble saying what? One big word. No. I had that problem. Sure. But I tell you, Jesus is saying, when life becomes overwhelming, I want you to take my yoke upon you, and I want you to learn of me. It's interesting to me that Jesus, with the multitude of crowd people just thronging him many times, that he never lost his cool, but he just expressed compassion and help the people. One example stands out to me. Remember that father that came to Jesus? And he said, hey, I need you to come quickly. My child is at the point of death. I need you to get there quickly. I think if we had been one of the, if we had been that dad, if we had been that mom, we'd express the same thing. Come quickly. We need you. My child's about to die. So, Jesus begins to go. But as he's going, somebody reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. Jesus stops, if you would, dead in his tracks and asks, "Who touched me?" The woman is revealed. She's healed. Now think about it. Jesus, come quickly. My child's at the point of death, but Jesus takes time to heal someone. Would you struggle with that? Not that you don't care that that woman didn't get healed, but you got a concern at home. Get there. And yet Jesus is never in a hurry. He's never late. He's always on time. Always. Jesus says, "I want you to look to me. I want you to live for me. And I want you to learn from me." There is a place called San Juan Capistrano, California. How many have ever been there? Neither have I. But I read about it this week, and it is known, for one of the things it's known for, is that every year in March, swallows, a great crowd of these little birds, migrate to there from Argentina. Now, every March, they will fly over 6,000 miles from Argentina all the way back to California. Now, how do they do it? They can't swim, and they can't fly 6,000 miles straight. So how in the world do they do it? Well, every swallow carries a large twig in its mouth. When the birds get tired, they drop the twig into the water, land on them, and rest until they are ready to resume their flight. Isn't that something? Those little swallows, forgive me, when I was a boy, I'd take my BB gun and shoot them off the power line. Sorry. But those little swallows, how God made them, to pick up a little twig and fly and drop it in the water when they needed to rest and pick it back up and take off. You know, life is a lot like that. It is a journey over water. Sometimes the water is smooth. Sometimes the waters are choppy. Sometimes a storm comes up. Sometimes the day is a beautiful day. But nonetheless, life is like that, and we all get weary in the flight. And what does Jesus say to do? He says, "I want you to come to me. I want you to live for me. And I want you to learn from me and rest in me when you get weary in the flight." Now here's what he promises. If we'll look to him, if we'll live for him, if we'll learn from him, he says, you will find rest for your souls. My, have you been in need of rest for your soul lately? Huh? Have you been in need of that? The times I have. We think about this last year that we have been through, that we continue to be in, if you would. New year, it's kind of the same circumstances. Our God's still on the throne, church. Please understand, the virus didn't knock him off. He's still there. He always will be. You know what he's crying out for us to do? Look up. Live for me. And learn from me. And you will find rest in your souls. I want to be very careful how I say this because I don't want it to come across in a way that would seem like I am calloused. I'm not. But when this virus started in our country, as far as we knew it, I tell you, I had not one moment of fear. My attitude when it began, my attitude to this day is this. If this is how God has planned to take me home to be with Him, so be it. Say, man, you trying to be a martyr? No. But I'm saying to you, I'm not living in fear of a virus. God's given me common sense. I'll use it. But I'm not going to walk around in fear, because this country has faced many other diseases in our time, and we have survived. And God is trying to get the attention of America. And God is saying today to America, would you look to me? Your hope's not in the vaccine. Your hope needs to be in the Lord. Oh, that's weak. Now, don't walk out of here and get mad at me if you got the vaccine, because I'm not judging you. I'm saying, though, that's not our hope. Our hope is in the Lord. And so we've got to say, Lord, life's overwhelming. But I'm going to trust in you, and you're going to see me through. My hope, the songwriter wrote, is in the Lord. Is that where your hope is today? I trust it is. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll pray in a moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, would there be somebody here that would say, Pastor, life, yes, has been overwhelming lately for me. I needed this message of hope and encouragement. At least I trust that's what it was for you this morning. And I wonder this morning, there'd be somebody here that would say, Pastor, my life, today, God has reminded me that I need to refocus. I need to look to Him. I need to live for Him, surrender to Him. And I need to learn from Him what He has for me during this time. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning, Pastor, that while life is overwhelming for me currently right now, that God will give me the strength to make it through. If that's the need in your life, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Right where you're at, this, yes, God bless you. Is there someone else? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else this morning? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Say, yes, Pastor, that's right where I'm at. It's overwhelming. Hey, it can happen to any of us. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, remember me in prayer this morning. I want to look to the Lord, trust in Him. Remember me in prayer. Anybody else while we wait? Would there be someone here who would say, Pastor, this morning in my life, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. And my soul really isn't at rest. It really isn't. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. I need Jesus as my Savior. If that's your need, would you raise your hand, drop your hand? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I die to go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Anybody at all while we wait? Just a moment, Sherry began to play a song entitled, Leave It There. When the things of this world are withholding from you and the burdens are pressing you down, leave it with Him. Leave it there. And when she begins to play, I'm going to encourage you today to come and just kneel here or sit in this front row and say, Lord, would you strengthen me? Lord, would you help me today? Life is overwhelming, but I need you to help me. I'm going to encourage you to come. Maybe some of you, life right now is not overwhelming, and that's great, because it's not always overwhelming. But it may be that today you just need to come and say, Lord, keep strengthening me. Help me so that when life does become overwhelming, I'll not fall apart, but I'll hold together with a strong faith in you. You may just need to come and just spend some time praying to the Lord and asking Him to help you, strengthen you in your faith. You come. And now, Father, I thank you for those to whom you have spoken to. Work in their hearts, strengthen them now. In Jesus' name, amen.